morning, everyone. Well, it's hard to believe that we've once again entered the fall holiday season. Just a little over a week, we'll have the Feast of Trumpets. And then just over a week from that, we'll keep the Day of Atonement, followed by the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day just a few days later. And it seems like we're always saying how surprised we are when each of the holy days seem to just pop up suddenly, even though we know of them and when we are to keep them. Time seems to be going faster and faster, and Satan is always trying to distract us, but we need to be prepared appropriately for these special and important days. God's holy days picture His plan for us and all mankind, and what an awesome plan it is. In Leviticus 23, God spoke to Moses and instructed him to instruct the children of Israel about how to keep God's holy days, along with how to arrive at their appropriate dates to keep them for the future to come. We see in Leviticus 23:14 that they are statutes forever throughout our generations and in all our dwellings. Today, we're an extremely small minority in the world who actually keep God's holy days. The world views God's holy days as ceremonial, and they think they were specifically designed for the ancient Israelites, and they don't apply to us today. And although there are certain aspects of the past holy days that were ceremonial, we still keep God's holy days today. They haven't been done away with. That shows you how short-minded their understanding is, especially when what much of the holy days pictures hasn't happened yet. It's still to come. So how can something that hasn't happened yet be said not to be applicable today? Doesn't make much sense, does it? But regardless, most believe the holy days do not need to be kept. So, are God's holy days relevant today? Why does God want us to observe His holy days? Well, because He wants us to know about our future, and these days reveals God's great plan for the future of mankind. We know that we are to keep the holy days, and they do apply to us today. They are commanded. Let's start in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, and we'll start in verses 1 through 4. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 1. And these are God's words that we're going to read. They are God's holy days, and they weren't something created by man. In verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feast. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Now the word proclaim means to make openly known, or to announce in a formal manner. Verses 5 through 20 describe the spring holy day season from Passover to Pentecost. But let's continue reading in verse 21. Verse 21, and you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Notice at the end of this verse, it reads, it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. It doesn't say anything about them being eliminated. There's something that we have to be kept. A statute is a law issued by God as the supreme ruler. And since we're going into the fall holy day season, let's start reading in verse 23. Leviticus 23:23, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, again, these are God's words, speak to the children of Israel saying, in the seventh month on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So we see the introduction of the Feast of Trumpets, which this year falls Monday, the 14th of this month. And skipping to verse 27, also the 10th day of this seventh month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And again, the Day of Atonement coming up on us soon. We'll be keeping Wednesday, September 23rd this year. Verse 28, and you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. And then we'll continue in verse 31. You shall do no manner of work, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. You see that again. A statute forever. Continuing in verse 32, it shall be a Sabbath, a solemn rest. You shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month of evening, at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. And again, just a couple weeks away from the Feast of Tabernacles, we'll be beginning those on the 28th of this month. In verse 35, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And for 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And on the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you will do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. In verse 31, it emphasizes again that these days will be a statute forever through your generations. I didn't read anything in there where it says we can eliminate them. There's something that we need to be keeping, and we do. Now let's continue in verse 41. You shall keep it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations. The holy days have been commanded to be kept since they were given, and they will continue for generations to come. Christ kept the holy days. The apostles kept the holy days. We keep the holy days. The world will keep the holy days eventually. Let's briefly prove this in the last few minutes we have this morning by turning to Luke 2. Luke 2 and reading verses 40 through 42. Earlier in this chapter is the introduction of the birth of Christ. Luke 2, starting in verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to the Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. The next few verses through verse 47 describe Christ having discussions with religious leaders during this festival season. And we see here that not only did Christ's parents practice keeping the holy days, but Christ was keeping them as a youth as well. Let's jump a few verses ahead and jump up to, we're going to go to John 2. We're going to jump forward a few years and on a few verses. John 2, verse 23. John 2, verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw all the signs that he did. Speaking of Christ. Then a few chapters later, we see that Christ even risked his own life and his personal safety to attend the holy days. Let's turn further over to John 7 and read verses 1 and 2. John 7, verses 1 and 2. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now skipping down to verses 8 through 11, Christ speaking, "You go up to the feast," he said. "I am not yet going to this feast, for my time has not fully come." Verse 9, when he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Now these two verses, today's Christian faith use to prove that we don't have to keep the feast anymore. We don't have to keep the holy days. But let's read on and see what it's really saying. That's verse 10. "But when his brothers had gone up, there he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it was in secret." Well, why did he have to go in secret? Well, he was being pursued. They wanted to kill him. And it wasn't yet time for that to happen. When he said it's not yet his time, he was just referring to leaving at that very moment. It didn't have anything to do with eliminating the holy days. Verse 11, "Then the Jews sought him at the feast, saying, where is he?" Well, how did they know where to go find him? Because he was keeping the holy days. He was keeping the feast. They know where to go to look for him. They wouldn't have known that if he wasn't keeping the holy days. And in verse 14, "And about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught." With these few verses we've reviewed, we clearly see the example of Christ keeping the holy days. Now let's take a look at a few verses shown the holy days were still being kept. They were being kept by the apostles and others after Christ. Let's turn to Acts 18. Acts 18. We'll read verses 20 and 21. Verse 20, "When they asked him," Paul, "to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent." Verse 21, "but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing," and he sailed from Ephesus. So even when traveling, Paul arranged his travel schedules with the holy days in mind. Let's go further over to Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 6. "But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined then at Troas, where we stayed 7 days, unable to reach Jerusalem for the Passover." Paul stayed in Philippi for the holy days. In Acts 20, verse 16, it says, "For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, for the day of Pentecost." Again, showing that Paul wanted to arrive in Jerusalem to keep the holy days. Paul's ministry included keeping the holy days with the growing church. Paul wouldn't be going to these places to teach if there wasn't somebody there keeping the holy days. Paul and the apostles taught the church to be imitators of Christ in all matters, including the keeping of the holy days. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, you don't have to turn there, "But imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Nowhere in the Bible can you find where the holy days don't have to be kept. Now let's look at a scripture showing future times of the keeping of the holy days. Let's turn to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 and read verses 16 through 19. Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19. Zechariah 14, verse 16, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, that's pretty significant. And we all know that all God's holy days, all His feasts, are significant and important. They are to be kept. The Feast of Tabernacles have always seemingly been the highlight of God's feast. I think we would all agree that we talk most excitedly about the Feast of Tabernacles. And we should be excited. It's good to be excited because it pictures something great. It pictures God's government of peace being set up here on this earth. It will be a time where all God's people will be working together in one goal in peace and harmony. The Feast of Tabernacles is a time of rejoicing before our Lord and a time to reflect on our responsibilities as God's chosen people living in this world. My purpose for the sermonette today was not to instruct about each holy day. We'll hear that in the days to follow on the appropriate days. But that we should be and are important days to us, the holy days. Because they're important to God and they represent our future. In John 14:23, you don't have to turn there, Christ said, "If anyone loves me and does my teaching," does what he teaches, "my Father will love them also, and we will come to them and make our home with them." And what a prize that is. So we keep the holy days because they're commanded. And we've seen the examples of them being kept for us to follow. And they are significant to our lives. And they are full of promise. I'd like to end with quoting from Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verses 3 and 5. Revelation 21, verse 3. And this is at the ends. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God." And in verse 5, "Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." Things will be better. "And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." They are going to come about. That's a fact. God can't lie. What an awesome time to celebrate and look forward to. And just think, this is really just the beginning. Have a great holy day season.